Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Mahalo for joining us here on The Conversation. It's Monday, August 17th. Across Hawaii, communities are coming to grips with the aftermath of Lala. It brought destructive winds and rain, hurricane-force winds in some areas on the Big Island, lesser in strength other areas, but damaging nonetheless. We hear live from the Big Island Civil Defense with the latest. We also check in on an isolated community on the island of Hawaii. The storm has cut off power in roads. We get an update from Hawaiian Electric Company about the outages which left hundreds of thousands of customers in the dark. We hear from Honolulu's city services about the things that are being closed today. The storm did not take out any critical infrastructure here on Oahu. But we pause to consider the impact of the primary election with dead even races broken by a draw. Incumbents lost after a nail-biting finish. You're tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. This morning, as we heard in the headlines, the 911 emergency system is out of commission on the island of Hawaii. Hawaii County Civil Defense's Adam Weintraub joins us live with the latest on dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane force winds and flooding. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Catherine.
It is so nice to connect with you again. I know for folks who don't know, you were here on Oahu with the Haima office, but now you're there, and they need you there.
Well, glad to help where I can.
Well, what can you tell us? What do people need to know about the 911 system?
Well, the 911 system, as of this morning, has been behaving badly. It is not a full-on failure because some people who are calling 911 are getting through, but we're finding that it's not a 100% connection. So we're asking that if anybody does call 911 and they can't get through, it's still possible to contact the emergency services folks. You can text to 911 and the message in many cases will go through. If you still are having trouble or if you're not on a phone that can text, we are referring people to the alternate numbers. Our non-emergency number is 808-961-8336, and there's also 935-3311. So they are still getting messages. It's a little bit of a workaround while we continue to address the technical issues. But the system is intermittent, and we want to make sure people are aware of how they can get in touch with us if they do need help.
Okay, yeah, vital services indeed. And we understand that the mayor and the governor are huddling now, right, just to get a better sense in this aftermath of this storm. But what do people need to know out there?
Well, we continue to try and address the most immediate needs in the communities. You may have seen some announcements earlier today that at least for the time being, emergency access to Pahala has been restored. That doesn't mean the highway is open. If we need to get supplies in, equipment in to do repair work, or if somebody has a medical need and needs to come out of that community, the roadway is available, but it is not for everybody to just go about their business. That's still an emergency access route only. We know that there are needs in the Pahala community for fuel and to restart some of the components of the water system there. Those are being addressed today. The situation is a little more critical in Na'alehu, where some of the infrastructure that supports the water system was seriously damaged by the flooding that occurred in the storm. We are arranging to have water brought down in tank truck to the Na'alehu community to meet those needs. And, of course, we are still dealing with widespread power outages across the island. Hawaii Electric is working on that, but they're addressing it on a prioritized basis where they're trying to stand up the transmission infrastructure first, and then they'll start trying to restore the home use.
Yes, and, we did hear, from the mayor talking about the state of the bridges that were damaged, and those are lifelines for anyone who knows that side of the island, critical pathways, so how are we dealing with, getting services to those areas that may be cut off?
Well, as I mentioned, they have managed to restore one lane of emergency access from the Hilo side. and it's in the hands of our DPW teams and their contractor partners. They're bringing the same focus to bear on it that they did when we had the damage from the Kona low storms. And this is not new territory from them. The scale is a little unexpected compared to what previous disasters have brought in the last few years. But our DPW team does know their business, and they are moving equipment and supplies down there as we speak.
Yes, and the winds, you know, that were clocked up on the mountaintops, pretty scary stuff.
There has always sort of been, since we haven't been hit in a long time, I have noticed among my neighbors the sense that the Big Island is safe from hurricanes and that the mountains will protect us. And there's a measure of truth to that, but it is never going to be as powerful as a storm that's aimed correctly and that brings that kind of power. This could have been a lot worse, and it's a reminder that none of us are safe when if we haven't taken the proper preparation steps.
Yes, and you know, the last couple of days I keep saying, well, you know, it could be worse. You know, I don't have power, but it could be worse. I may not have water. And, you know, so the degree of just getting that sense of, you know, yeah, it's inconvenient if you don't have power, but gosh, if nobody got hurt, we are so lucky. And, you know, a lot of hassle if your home was damaged, you know, and all the red tape that will follow if you have to deal with insurance. But the immediate concern about loss of, you know, life and property, you know, paramount.
Well, and I do want to make it clear, there are going to be some after effects that we'll be dealing with for quite some time. But I can tell you from sitting in on some of the emergency management meetings that there is a clear sense that the support for Hawaii goes all the way up to the federal government, and that there is a commitment to making this recovery as quick as it can be.
Yes, and so important to get those damage estimates, you know, in so we know what we're dealing with. But we just have to, yeah, ask for patience from everybody as we work through this time.
Yeah, and recognizing that many people are still having trouble with connectivity. Some of the generators that power the cell phone towers need to be refueled. So there may be some frustrations, but we do encourage anybody who's got a need, if that's immediate but not emergency, go to our website. They can fill out what's called a request for assistance, and that puts them on the radar of folks who can provide emergency shelter, who can provide emergency water and that sort of thing. And the damage reporting process will be gearing up as we get through the week. So we encourage folks who did suffer property damage, either to their home or to their business, to go ahead and fill out a report on our website.
And then what are you hearing from the Kona side?
My home is on the Kona side. Our impacts were a little delayed, but I do know there's concern that some of the areas that sustained flooding during the Kona lows may have been hit again. Most of the access on the roadways here is getting cleaned up fairly quickly. There's a lot of debris on the roads, a lot of downed trees and rock slides. But every time I look at my feed, I'm seeing that another piece of the roadway that was closed is being opened up. So slow but steady progress here.
All right. All right. Well, you stay safe, Adam. But thank you so much for spending time with us today.
All right. Thank you, Catherine.
We've been hearing from Hawaii County Civil Defense's Adam Weintraub. Stay with us. Stay up to date on the latest recovery efforts following Lala. Head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org. The destructive winds from Hurricane Lala this weekend took out transmission lines across the state, so much so that Hawaiian Electric announced that it would need help from utilities on the continent, which is a first. We talked to Hawaiian Electric spokesman Darren Pai, who has been up since 3 this morning on the Big Island. Nearly 40,000 customers remain without power on the island of Hawaii as of this morning, another 6,000 on Maui County, and more than 70,000 on Oahu are in the dark. Here's Pai.
Well, the snapshot is that our crews have been working throughout the night, and they're going to stay on the job as we try to get the power back on for all of our customers. You know, we've made significant amount of progress, you know, since the storm passed. However, we know that there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, one of the key pieces of work that, you know, has started and is an ongoing process is what we refer to as damage assessment. It's really the first step in the restoration process. It's when we have inspectors go out both in the field and in the air to, you know, look at the equipment, look at the power lines, the substations, all the transformers, everything, and determine exactly what's broken, what's in working order, what needs to be fixed. And that allows us to determine how we can deploy our resources, how we can prioritize the repairs, so we can make the most amount of impact. You know, what we want to do is we have certain priorities when we restore power. You know, we want to focus first on areas where we've got facilities that are essential for public health and safety. So you're looking at hospitals, first responders, you know, those kinds of things. You know, and then, you know, we're looking at trying to restore power in bigger chunks, trying to, you know, make fixes that will allow us to bring back a larger number of customers at one time. And in order to do that, when you look at the electric system, you know, it's really, you think about it, it has different sizes of lines. And the biggest ones, the highest voltage ones, are what we refer to as the transmission system. And those are like the backbone of the electric grid, the major freeways on the island. So if you imagine suddenly the H1 and the H2 were shut down, you know, that means traffic is not flowing on this island. And that's what our transmission lines are. They are essentially the largest, highest voltage lines that connect our power plants and our solar farms and wind farms to the rest of the electric grid. They carry the power across the island into different communities, where it then feeds into substations and smaller lines that serve individual communities and customers.
And then, Darren, I know that you also had to wait until it was safe enough to do an aerial assessment of those key transmission lines. So this is all a process.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it's safety and it's also visibility. You know, we need aircraft to go up. We were on Oahu, it wasn't safe or had enough clear visibility, you know, until yesterday afternoon to really get these aerial inspections going. So it is, you know, there's a lot involved with it. And we're looking at not only ensuring the safety of the public, but also, you know, our employees, our linemen, and all of the different contractors that are working with us to address the situation.
Yes, and when I was out and about, you know, we could just see all those crews working furiously to either deal with lines on the road, that kind of thing, or poles down. But, you know, you did let people know that in some areas, you know, they could be without power for days and, you know, obviously on the Big Island, too, a very long time, weeks and months, possibly.
Yeah. And, you know, we really want to make sure that we give our customers as much advance notice as possible. You know, we wish we could be more specific at this stage. However, there's still a lot of variables. We still need a lot more information before we can get to that. So we don't want to just speculate and put out information that might not turn out to be accurate. You know, we want to give people accurate information that they can use to, you know, develop their own plans. We understand that can be frustrating. We understand that, you know, it's difficult if you are without power and then you drive to another neighborhood and they've been restored. And so the natural question is, well, what about us? And so that's a very human reaction and we totally understand it and we sympathize. And we are doing our best to get to everyone as quickly as we can.
Yes, I mean, we're asking people for patience, understanding, kokua, because this is a big job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand that also that you folks have asked for help from the continent. There may be crews headed our way.
That's true. And, One of the important parts of this restoration process is to constantly have crews out in the field. And in order to do that, you need fresh bodies. So we have partnerships with other utilities in other states, and we have, you know, more utility workers coming in. They're expected in the next couple of days, and their reinforcements coming. They're going to supplement the crews that we have here. We'll integrate them into the work, and that will allow us to keep rotating out fresh crews. So we will always be able to have people out in the field, you know, working on getting the lights back on.
When was the last time we actually had to do this, where we had to go to the
mainland? We have not had to do that before.
Wow. Well, I know growing up out in Guam, you know, which is always hit by super typhoons, I know the communities there were so grateful when Hawaiian Electric sent their teams out to spell, you know, the local power teams as well. And so now this is our turn. We are waiting for help from the continent to help Hawaiian Electric crews that are out on the road.
Well, you know, it's a partnership, you know, within the industry. We know that we all help each other. There have been times when our crews have gone to other states to assist. You know, as we've seen some of the large disasters that have taken place, you know, across the continent and other places, you know, we all just help each other. And, you know, that's how we get through this.
Well, I think that should be underscored, right? For the very first time, we are going to be on the receiving end for help, because the damage and the work that has to be done is monumental.
You know, this is really a situation that, you know, you don't see very often here. I mean, you think historically, a lot of the storm systems, particularly on Oahu that impacted Oahu, you know, when something comes up from the south, that has a really significant impact on Oahu, because you don't have a mountain range down there to absorb the impact. Say, when a storm approaches from the windward side, you know, obviously there's a lot of impact on the windward side, but it's very different across the rest of the island. On the south side of the island, all of those communities, you know, Pearl Harbor down to East Honolulu, if you look at our outage map, there are a lot of dots there for outages, and they were just completely exposed to the winds and the rain of the storm.
That outage map was just invaluable for me over the weekend, just to see what was going on and being able to understand, you know, how hazardous it was as we got to these intersections where there is no power, no traffic lights, and no police. And so people, motorists, were being very good and treating it as a four-way stop and being respectful and mindful of everybody's safety.
You know, and that's how we get through these things. I think here in Hawaii, we're very accustomed to supporting each other and thinking about each other as a community. I know that I'm still on Hawaii Island this morning. I've been here since before the storm. And, you know, as we have been driving around, there's been a lot of kukua on the road. And we've seen people, you know, waving each other through intersections. And you know, it's part of, you know, what makes this special here in Hawaii.
Well, is there anything else you can tell us about the Big Island? And then give us a snapshot also of the situation on Maui and what else you're hearing for Oahu?
Sure. Well, you know, one thing is that here on Hawaii Island, we know that the storm has caused significant damage in some rural areas. And so in those cases, customers may be without power for an extended period of time, especially those where there are issues with just having access to those areas. We know that there's been a lot of damage to the roads and other infrastructure as a result of the heavy rains and flooding. And so we're really appreciative of our partnership with the county and the state, you know, to work on just getting through those areas. You know, downed trees are the leading cause of power outages during storms. We're seeing that a lot here on Hawaii Island, on all of the islands. And the really good news, is that the power plants on each of the islands have weathered the storm well. So there's no issue with power generation. Really, the problems lie with the grid, the actual lines and the poles that, you know, take the power from those generating stations to the customers. So here on Hawaii Island, there are two large power plants that are owned by independent companies. They currently cannot connect to the grid because we need to repair the transmission lines that connect those plants to the grid. So that's one of our top priorities here on Hawaii Island, is to get those transmission lines back in service So those power plants, they're ready to go. They just need to, you know, have safe, secure transmission lines for them to feed power into the grid.
Okay. And then what else can you tell us about Maui?
Maui has actually, you know, in terms of the number of customers impacted, it is proportionally smaller on Maui compared to Oahu and Hawaii Island. Can't really speculate as to exactly why that is. You know, the storm, you know, I'm not sure exactly how close the storm came to Maui County and to Maui itself. But, you know, our crews have been making a lot of progress on Maui. And so they're continuing to work on it. You know, on all of these islands, the challenge is going to be, you know, when you've got rural areas that are difficult to access, or when we need to deal with lines and poles that are located up in the mountains or in valleys, or, you know, these lines that cross ravines. Those are the problematic ones, and those are the repairs that take a lot more time.
And then for Oahu, you know, I know that there's no school today to try and minimize, you know, the impact on our roads with people in coming and going, you know, particularly with the traffic lights out. But anything you want to underscore? Because, I mean, I know just driving through Waikiki this morning and then this weekend, it was a madhouse.
For Oahu, you know, we understand that's where, you know, the majority of the population lives. That's where the majority of the, you know, where we've got more, you know, industry. And so we are fully aware that, you know, we need to make sure that we commit the proper resources there. You know, we are going through the same restoration strategy that I've been describing, you know, making sure that we've completed the damage assessment. That's still an ongoing process. And then repairing the transmission lines and working our way through from the transmission lines down to the individual neighborhoods. You know, we are working in specific areas where, so you see a lot of our bucket trucks and our crews, you know, out in your neighborhoods. If something can be fixed quickly and easily, we will go ahead and do that and try and get customers restored. If you don't see our crews in your neighborhood and you're still without power, we want you to know we are still working on solving your problem. Sometimes the issue is not directly in your neighborhood, but it's with the lines that feed your neighborhood. So right. The problem may be a mile away, and that's where the crews are working. We get that kind of question a lot. How come we don't see you on our right. street? It's still all part of the process.
Yes, we need to kokua, sit tight. We know that, you know, state and county and power company teams are in force. But yeah, we just need to have patience and understanding during this time. Thank you so much, Darren. We really appreciate your time this morning.
No, we appreciate your time and you know, helping to, you know, keep our customers informed.
You know, we also heard this morning from a Big Island resident, Colby Moser, co-hosts the Hawaii Radio Hour on Sundays for HPR1. She weathered the storm from Waimea, but her parents stayed at their home in Pahala. Moser spoke with the Conversation's Maddie Bender about how communities in the Kau district have fared.
The worst part of the storm hit on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and I had gone to sleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, I saw a lot of videos from being posted from Pahala that they were cut off, that the roads had washed away. Road to Hilo and to Kona were washed away, meaning that the people in Pahala were trapped. And I know that friends and family all along Kau, so in Na'alehu, was really bad. Wahinu was really bad. And so immediately my heart sunk, and I was just trying to get in touch with my parents, family, friends, and I wasn't able to get through for a while because they don't have power. They haven't had power since Saturday afternoon, and then they lost the running water. Pahala, and I believe all along Kau lost running water in the afternoon, so this is Sunday afternoon. I believe parts of Na'alehu had lost water before that, though. And so just getting in touch with them was my main concern, to make sure they're okay, and just thankful that they were okay. The house didn't have too much damage, but it's been hard to be in touch with them because reception has been spotty. I believe today is the worst, so I had some family that had to drive out to Mililii to get cell phone service. I heard that the road between Pahala and Hilo is being cleared. So just relieved that the county has gone into action so quickly to bring first responders, emergency supplies over to Pahala, because it's terrifying to think that your friends and family would be stuck without any help for we don't know how long. The community of Pahala is a really tight-knit community. So what I had heard from my friends and family there was that everybody was taking care of each other. The uncles were cooking at the shelter, sharing the water that they had. That community is so strong, and they've been through a lot. Back in 2000, I remember there's a terrible storm that came through and washed out our bridges, and it took months for it to be repaired. But that community is so resilient. Ka'u people are so resilient and so helpful. They will jump in to help their neighbor without hesitation. Mm-hmm. And that's just the kind of people that they are. I have a classmate who's been on a bulldozer for 35 hours trying to clear debris from the road. There are people at the shelter who are there helping and looking for people, checking on Kupuna, haven't even slept yet since Saturday. So I'm just grateful knowing that community. I know that they'll be okay. We still worry when we can't get in touch with them, but I'm proud of them. I am proud to be part of that community, and I know they're taking good care of each other.
To your point about the bridges, we have heard that bridges in Ka'u and elsewhere were destroyed during the storm. And now that it seems like we are out of at least the immediate effects of the high winds and the flooding, what sorts of concerns does the community have?
Yeah, Pahala and Na'alehu and Wahinu, we're pretty far from any major towns. Where Pahala is an hour from Hilo, hour and a half from Kona. And so they're out there on their own, and they have enough to take care of their community. We have a hospital, we have fire stations and stores and a police station, but without power, that's pretty worrisome. And if there's no way in or out, that's really concerning, because we don't know how much people are running out of gas. Pahala, the town of Pahala, doesn't have a gas station, and our hospital is in Pahala, our fire station is in Pahala. So my first thought was, how are we going to get gas to Pahala if there's no roads in and out of Pahala? So I think getting power restored, I think, would be my first concern, just to make sure that people can start to have some sort of normalcy, be able to connect to friends and family outside of Ka'u, be able to start figuring out what the next steps are and how to get help for that. And that all starts with just access to the town. So I know that there is a road to Pahala for emergency personnel. I'm hoping to open it up soon so people can get in or out of Pahala. If their house is damaged or destroyed, have a more permanent place to be while the house is getting repaired. Yeah, but I think that would be my main concern, is just right now they're just in survival mode, and hopefully they can start that road to recovery soon.
Anything else you'd want to add, or you'd want listeners around the islands to know, Colby?
Yeah, I think, you know, my takeaway is that we just never know. Like, we prepare for the worst, and when it does happen, we really need to rely on our community. And I am so proud to be from there and raised by those people, because that's the kind of people that they are. That's the kind of people that you hope to have in your community, that will be so selfless and do what they need to do and use all of their resources. They will give you the shirt off their back. They will give you the last bit of food that they have in their fridge to make sure that you're okay. And I just think that we need to look at them as a way to, as an example of community coming together. And God forbid this happens in any other community, but when you work together and when you love and care for each other, they can move mountains. And that's literally what they're doing right now.
We've been hearing from Big Island resident Colby Moser. She spoke with HPR's Maddie Bender this morning about the situation on the ground in Kau and the long road to recovery ahead. How has your community been affected? We would love to hear from you. Get in touch. Email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org.
Support for HPR comes from Osher Lifelong Learning Institute for ages 50 and older, with courses designed to engage the mind and enrich lives. Zoom open house August 30th, olliuhm.org.
The brain is the organ that makes us who we are. It's our conduit between reality and thought, but somehow we've only scratched the surface in understanding how the brain actually works.
Are there things that we might not be able to think? Possible true scientific theories we might not be able to understand ever?
It's part one of our special exploration, Brain Waves. That's on the next On Point.
Beginning this afternoon at 2.
Support for HPR comes from Blue Note Hawaii. Rock musician and singer-songwriter Alejandro Escovedo performs songs from his new album, Echo Dancing, August 23rd and 24th. Tickets at BlueNoteHawaii.com.
And this morning, we checked in with the city. Park spokesman Nathan Sirota just got out of a briefing, and he's got the latest on what we need to know here on Oahu about basic city services.
We really want to stress to people that, you know, with the power outages that we're seeing, that low water pressure and water outages could be still likely in some areas, particularly in higher elevation areas where, you know, the pumps require a bit more pressure to get a good water pressure. So really that message about conservation is key, where we wanted people to, you know, really only use water for essential needs. So drinking, cooking, showering, and sanitation. Now is not a good time to be washing your car. Now is not a good time to be setting up the slip and slide with the kids. Really keep your water use to essential needs only. Concerning kind of parks and recreation and beaches and a lot of the outdoor activities, you know, we know that, you know, school was suspended today and non-essential city services were suspended as well too. So that includes like a lot of recreational amenities. So places like the zoo, the Blaisdell golf courses and parks, the outdoor areas of parks, we're telling people to use caution in them because there are going to be some downed trees in a lot of our parks. Staff are going to be working to try and remove them, but the higher priorities are removing trees from essential infrastructure, so from roadways, if it's impacting cars or people's homes, that's going to take the first priority. And then later down the line, we'll get to those trees that fell in parks. So, you know, outdoor areas are still pretty hazardous. You know, there HFE, the fire department and emergency medical services had a rescue of some hikers over in Ka'ava overnight. Now is not a good time to be hiking. You know, it's still significant rainfall that we're seeing. And the conditions out in the mountains and in hikes are not favorable. Still very foggy conditions. Lots of probably downed trees in those rugged areas that are more in the country. So please, you know, minimize your recreational activities today. Indoors is still a good place to be, particularly if you're on the roadways as well. You know, a lot of power outages around the island are still being reported. So there's going to be a lot of traffic signals that aren't functioning. So please treat any traffic signal that's out as a all-way stop and give priority to pedestrians at those particular intersections. Other than that, you know, a big mahalo to people who are prepared for this. You know, we had been getting the messaging out all week to prepare for this, and we've gotten some pretty significant impacts. It seems like the wind was one of the more bigger factors when it came to impacting infrastructure. We had, you know, about 335 downed tree or branch calls that came into us. That number is likely going to rise as people do their assessments. You know, about 66 blown roof calls across the island. So really the wind was a significant impact for us. And again, we're going to prioritize removing those trees or those hazards from critical infrastructure like roadways, removing it off of people's homes or people's vehicles. And so we will get to, you know, the other areas such as parks in the time being, but please avoid those areas that are taped off if there is any fallen infrastructure.
Well, I did see those city crews out there, you know, clearing the large branches that fell, you know, like along Kalanianiole Highway and just, you know, those critical areas where there was were blocking passage. And then, you know, I was also on the Likelike, you know, the Pali, of course, closed because of the boulders and also trees over there. And the state crews were dealing with that. That was just amazing to see, you know, how many workers are out there trying to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, it's definitely a team effort. I mean, going into this storm, we knew it was going to be all hands on deck, not just internally within the city, but, you know, across the state and the federal jurisdictions. And so really a big kudos to all of the collaboration that we got on that. You know, one thing that I do want to mention, we had talked about the suspension of city services. And so we are trying to get back to getting everything back online. So our hope is to have normal city services back open tomorrow. So that's kind of the recreation facilities I mentioned. That's the satellite city halls, Department of Motor Vehicles as well, too. Hoping to get those back on tomorrow. So that's what we're working towards. But we do have our critical infrastructure that's still operating. All refuse is operating normally. So that's the landfill, that's refuse centers, that's pickup of your Opala. We do have all emergency first responders, of course, working. They've been working around the clock. And specifically when it comes to, you know, the down, even something like the downed trees, it's not just the city arborists and parks and rec that respond to that. We have fire department response to it. HPD will help cordon off the area to keep vehicles from getting near them. We work with HECO if the down branches or tree are impacting power lines. And then we have our partners in Department of Facility Maintenance that can help haul away some of the debris once it's chopped up and ready for removal. So really, it was an all-hands-on-deck, and it's going to continue to be an all-hands-on-deck effort as we work towards recovery. And with that recovery in mind, one thing that we really want to get out to the public is if your home sustained any damage, please report it to the Department of Emergency Management. They have an online form that's at honolulu.gov/BEM. And so that's a good way to let us know what damage happened to your home. Of course, take pictures, call your insurance company, report it to them. But this online form will help us to the federal emergency declaration, because damages to people's homes and to infrastructure are really what helped to make that case for that FEMA emergency declaration. And we're absolutely going to file for that.
Yes, and, you know, I have seen images, you know, of blown roofs. We know neighborhood by neighborhood, it just really all depends on which way the winds were blowing, you know, whether you had trees come down on your structure or, you know, blown tiles, that kind of thing. And then also flooding, too. You know, there's lots of concern about the flash floods. I know worrisome there in Manoa when we watch the stream gauges jump up so high so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a big mahalo to, you know, ahead of the storm, we really heeded the call to prepare as much as we could on those blue sky days ahead of Tropical Storm Lala this weekend. And what you saw in that regard was Department of Facility Maintenance maintaining their streams. They went to probably close to a dozen streams across the island, you know, here on the South Shore, on the west side, Ulihava, Ka'alipulu over in Kailua, certainly Kaukonohua. They actually had been working out there since the Kona lows. So really maintaining the free flow of those streams was top of mind for us. And our Department of Facility Maintenance really put a lot of effort into making sure that those waterways were open. You know, we did receive, you know, about 18 residential flooding calls. And, you know, that certainly could rise as we continue to see rain today with the already saturated grounds. But again, that wind impact was really something that caused a lot of the damage that we're seeing and that we're addressing throughout today.
Yes, and I know there were some close calls in Waihole, Waikane, and with some of those areas that typically flood. But, you know, even just driving in Waikiki to see big trees go down over there because of the saturated soil, you know, and along Kahala Avenue. And yeah, it was just random places, you know, on the west side too. Lots of big trees certainly got turned over as well. But people just need to be cognizant of the hazards out there as they navigate, you know, if you've got to go to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So being out on the roadways, again, if you do not need to be on the roadways, please stay home. You know, a lot of services have been suspended today, whether that's for the city, the state, schools have been closed. Treat all, you know, intersections that don't have a functioning traffic light as an always stop, and please yield to pedestrians, give them the right of way. You know, there's a brown water advisory statewide as well, too, as you can imagine, with the amount of rainfall that we got statewide. The ocean conditions are not going to be great. So, you know, if your favorite beach today is brown, don't go out. Really probably not a great day to be at the beach anyway, because, you know, a lot of our parks did have, you know, fallen trees that came down within the parks. And again, we'll get to those, but we are going to prioritize the more higher infrastructure impacts or the bigger priority areas like roadways and people's homes and vehicles.
A good point on the brown water. Yeah. It was pretty shocking to see a ring of brown in East Honolulu. When in doubt, stay out.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's the good mess. I couldn't remember the exact rhyming scheme that they had, so thank you for remembering that. Yeah, when in doubt, don't go out. One thing that I forgot to add is we are looking to demobilize the last of the three shelters this afternoon. So yesterday evening, we transitioned from schools to three park facilities, one at Evamico District Park, Kaneohe District Park, and Booth District Park. And so we're looking to demobilize those this afternoon. Again, kind of playing that by ear with the current conditions. But we're looking to, we were able to get a lot of the folks there who were, you know, houseless into some transitional shelters. So a silver lining with that, where we were able to get services to people who were otherwise unsheltered.
Okay. Well, we do appreciate the update. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
We've been hearing from City Park spokesman Nathan Sirota. Look for our links on updates on storm recovery on our website later today.
Support for HPR comes from Big Island Coffee Roasters, offering fresh roasted 100% Hawaiian coffee subscriptions delivered from their Hilo Roastery. More at BigIslandCoffeeRoasters.com.
September is Classical Music Month.
To celebrate, we want to know which classical music pieces are your favorites.
We'll compile our listeners' top 100 picks into a list that we'll unveil starting September 16th here on HPR2.
Last year's number one listener favorite was Beethoven's Symphony No. 5.
What will this year's number one be? It's up to you to decide.
And to submit your picks, visit us online at hawaiipublicradio.org/classicalmonth.
We look forward to seeing your favorites.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to Ulupono Initiative.
You know, HPR's new staff was working over the weekend with all the updates on Hurricane Lala, and HPR's news director Bill Dorman is with us now. So what was it like this weekend?
I mean, it shared experience for everyone in the state, of course, on different levels. We've been hearing from folks around the state. And by the way, we would love to hear from you. You know, we hear from officials, and that's important, but also hearing from individuals and their experiences. If you have a story to tell us about your experiences over the last couple of days and also the challenges you're facing at this point, we would really like to hear from you. And because we're radio, we like to hear it audio online. We'd love to hear your voices. So I'm going to give you a phone number, 808-792-8217. That's our talkback line. And think of this as 45 seconds or a minute. Tell us what you're experiencing. We'll repeat that later, too, the 792-8217. You can email us also, talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org, but we'd love to hear from you. And, you know, Catherine, we were talking earlier about every storm is different. And in Hawaii, as this approached, we saw that, you know, people focus on the cone of uncertainty, and especially outside Hawaii, people want to know, oh, is it going to hit this island or
be on the... They were freaking out.
Yeah, and absolutely. We both heard from media organizations literally all around the world. And the point, and we've both made this point, I know, is that don't just concentrate on this little moving dot. It's those, the impact is so wide. John Bravender of the National Weather Service talked early on about the extent of the wind field. And so now we're seeing the aftermath of that broad impact. And it's not always in a nice little pattern of this or that. So in various points around the islands, it's hit in different ways. And we're hearing from folks about that as well.
Yeah, well, what are some of the stories that you're hearing?
You know, our listeners just heard this morning about some of the challenges in Pahala, Ka'u, Colby Mosier about earlier in the program, devastating destruction of bridges and roads. Been hearing this morning that gas stations are closed all the way up to Hilo because of a lack of power. And again, generator, that power, lack of electricity touches so much. Generators, another spill-on impact. If you have a generator that runs on gas and gas stations are closed because of a lack of electricity, it's another spillover effect. Water, closely linked with electricity behind the conservation request you hear us talking about. You spoke about a lot of those impacts with Darren Pye of HECO. Another point that we've been hearing about from folks is the power of community, of people coming together to share what resources are available. Small things. There's a group at the Kalihi Valley Station here on Oahu this morning is having a battery bank available. It's actually open right now. People to charge their devices. It's,
yes.
It's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. So if you're on Oahu, 2406 Kalihi Street. You can charge your devices for free. Every island, similar community efforts.
Yeah, no, that's terrific. But what else is going to be a focus in the days and weeks to come?
You know, vulnerability is a word that often comes up in Hawaii in so many contexts. We're the most isolated island archipelago in the world. And for everybody listening, you know, if you live by the water, you already know about storm surges. You don't need for us to tell you about that. But the way that some of these storms impacts hit different areas in different ways, I think is going to bear further examination. People are going to want to know what is changing or what is shifting, what those impacts are and where they have been. Just one other issue to be watching. That's insurance. It's early, you know, but it's a realistic concern over the longer term of what the Hawaii insurance market is going to be like. And again, we'll see about future storms. But when it comes to telling people about their experiences, we'd like to help spread the word. And you can let us know. 808-792-8217. 45 seconds or a minute. Tell us what you're experiencing. Or talk back at HawaiiPublicRadio.org.
All right. We do want to hear from you. But thanks so much, Bill.
You bet.
We've been hearing from HFAIR's News Director, Bill Dorman. Check our website to stay updated on weather changes. While we were all bracing for the storm over the weekend, another one was brewing over the outcome of the primary election. And this morning, we have Andrew Gomes from the Honolulu Star Advertiser joining us to talk about a tiebreaker, not in one, but two races. Good morning, Andrew.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Well, the Sunday story, I just was so amazed, but it brought back shades of the last time we had to do this, which was in the 80s, I think, right? This was Connie Chun and Romy Cacciola.
I was not reporting for that and did not remember it personally, but did look up the history, and yeah, that's right. According to election officials, the one and only prior tie.
Well, I remember that tie, and Lieutenant Governor Ben Cayetano, you know, they had to flip a coin on that one. And when I talked to him, he laughed and he says, oh my gosh, that was like 40 years ago. I don't remember that. But here we have now two Republican incumbents that have lost their seats because of this tiebreaker. Share with our listeners what happened.
Well, by all accounts, it was a stunner that the final quote-unquote count of votes resulted in not just one, but two ties. One would have been exceptionally rare. And then for two to come out with equal votes, I mean, that blew a lot of people's minds, I think. Candidates, of course, and then observers as well.
Oh, yes, because candidates went to bed thinking they won or lost, and then the next day it was like, not so fast. And then they had all those votes that they had to cure, right, to figure out, you know, what were solid votes and what were, you know, not going to be counted, not allowed.
Right. The cure deadline was on Friday. So for people that forgot to sign their ballot envelopes, or maybe their signature, you know, didn't have the best penmanship whenever they voted, and their signature did not match well enough signatures on file, they basically had 5 days from the primary election on August 8th to address those deficiencies. And a few, relative few, did, but that made the differences and resulted in the ties.
Yes, so
were announced on Friday and led to the drawing on Saturday.
And so the outcome of that then, so Senator Kurt Favela lost his seat, as well as Representative Kanani Souza.
Yeah, yeah. All by chance.
And the folks in Favela's district, you know, I mean, he was defeated by Bob McDermott, you know, who represented that area previously. So they're familiar with that candidate. But it's just a real shocker to have this happen the way it did.
Yeah, no doubt. McDermott and Favela, in years past, have been colleagues in the House and Senate. Well, former House member McDermott was challenging Favela, and yeah, somebody had to win and somebody had to lose, and they both tried their best, and the result was out of their control.
And when we have this event where we have to break the tie, right? I mean, there are election watchers that have to be present to make sure everything's all on the up and up.
Yeah. My understanding during the drawing that broke the ties, volunteer election observers, their volunteer jobs, quote unquote, have to do with when ballots are counted. I think their presence, there were maybe, I think, just a couple. They were there more for curiosity. But all four candidates were there to make sure or see with their own eyes that things were done fairly. And I couldn't perceive anything that wasn't. I haven't heard anybody contesting that the drawing didn't happen fairly. But even the candidates that won before so felt like it was unfortunate that this was the way the election in their cases were being decided.
Yes. So Representative Kanani Souza lose his her slot to Sheila Medeiros, and you know, those candidates now will be scrambling to hire staff.
Yeah, every year there's at least a little turnover in the legislature, so nothing new there. But yeah, the way this one happened, that was hugely unusual.
Quite a surprising ending to the primary for these candidates. But thank you so much, Andrew.
My pleasure, and it was an experience to witness as well.
We have been talking to Andrew Gomes. You can read his article at staradvertiser.com. That's a wrap. Up tomorrow, a new statewide survey wants to know, how good are domestic violence laws? And we want to know, how did you weather Hurricane Lala? Call our talkback line and please leave us a voicemail at 808-792-8217. You can find the conversation as a podcast. Head to Spotify or Apple or check our website. I'm Catherine Cruz. We'll be back tomorrow with more of The Conversation.